This morning's message is entitled, All People Matter, based on Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 through 13, which was our gospel reading. I will read those words again. And Jesus saw a man called Matthew sitting in the tax collector's booth, and he said to him, Follow me. And he got up and followed him. Then many tax collectors and sinners came and were dining with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, Why is your teacher eating with tax collectors and sinners? When Jesus heard this, he said, It is not those who are healthy that need a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but the sinners. In today's sermon text, the Jewish religious leaders, the Pharisees, were an example of religion as if all people do not matter. Jesus has called a man named Matthew to be his disciple. Matthew had been a cheating tax collector. Jesus went to his home for a meal, and other so-called bad people were there as well. It seems the Pharisees were following Jesus because they ask, Why does a respectable rabbi like Jesus eat with those kind of people? Behind this question is their attitude. In our religion, such people are not welcome. Such people do not count. Such people do not matter. Jesus' reply was direct. People, not religious systems, are important. With biting sarcasm, Jesus says, Those who think they are healthy don't need a doctor, only those who are sick. I did not come for those who think they are righteous. I came for those who know they are sinners. The Pharisees' religious system ruled out some people, those who were not Pharisees. They said such people were unlovable to God. Jesus says, No way. You are dead wrong. In God's eyes, all sinners count. All people matter. The Holy Bible says the same thing. Sinners count. People matter. John 3:16 tells us, For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Romans 5:6, For while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If God had waited until we measured up, reformed, obeyed all the commandments, and kept all the rules, He and we would wait forever. We would wait for his love, for his sacrifice for our sins, for any hope to be acceptable in his sight. In Christianity, all people should matter. When you and I look into the mirror and see all our sins, all our failings, all our mistakes, and still realize that Almighty God loves, accepts, and forgives that person, we must be led to this truth. All people matter. All people count. This is a distinctive attitude to show the world. God does not just love the decent, upstanding, nice people. He loves the stubborn, the selfish, the difficult. He loves sinners like you and me, and all other sinners as well. Jesus Christ, God's Son, died and rose to pay for our sin. And by faith in him, Jesus lives in you and me, so we can make this truth known to the world. All sinners count. All people matter. Yet all around us, there is a clear message declared. People do not matter. A few examples? Far too often in corporate business or government, people do not matter. Financial profits do. In labor unions, a worker is not permitted to do the simplest task because the system counts, not the worker or the people he serves. A young couple with small children and a small budget need a place to live, but are greeted with a sign at the entrance of an apartment building, No children allowed. One supreme irony of this technological age is the neutron bomb. This bomb leaves buildings standing, but destroys human life. Buildings and dollars are to be saved, but people do not count. We see it all around us. Old people do not count. Young people do not count. Overweight people do not count. People of a different skin color than you do not count. Unattractive people do not count. The list goes on and on. The Christian church is not immune to this attitude. Here it really hurts when, in the name of God, in the support of traditions or habits, out of a self-righteous heart, some people are made to feel not welcome, not a part of the in-group, not sat with in the church pews, not spoken to after worship, not invited to lunch, made to feel like a leper due to personal or family problems. Dear people, let this be the mark of our belonging to Christ as individuals and as a congregation. People matter to us. Take note, relating to people who are sinners never means indifference to sin. Let me repeat that. Relating to people who are sinners never means indifference to sin. Treating people as if they matter includes warning and admonition, as well as love and forgiveness. At times we are called to show people their sin and not just wink at ungodliness. It is a tough love that Jesus brings into our lives, as well as a tender love. The real test comes with those hard to love, whether that person is a neighbor or coworker, a family member, a church member, or that person you see when you look into the mirror. A true test, if ours is a religion in which people matter, is when we encounter someone impossible to love. There's a powerful message for us in such moments in Louise Hansberry's novel, which was later made into a movie, A Raisin in the Sun. In one scene, an elderly black mother is talking to her daughter, who has had it with her troublemaking brother, the constant embarrassment of the family. The mother says, "There is always something left to love. And if you ain't learned that, you ain't learned nothing, child. When do you think is the time to love somebody most? When they're good and have made things good for everybody? Well, then you ain't through learning, because that ain't the time at all. It's when he's at his lowest and can't believe in himself, because the world done whipped him so. When you start measuring somebody, measure him right. Make sure you done taken into account the hills and valleys he came through before he got wherever he is." Dear people, God's love for sinners like us enables us to make others matter. St. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 5, "For when we were still without strength, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, but God demonstrated his own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. And we now exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through we have received this reconciliation. We were without strength. We were ungodly. We were sinners. We were God's enemies. If we had received from God what our sins deserved, we would be destroyed. But Jesus died and rose for us and made us right with God. He reconciled us to God. Amazing grace. He loves us. We matter to him. And in the face of such amazing grace and love, we cannot help but treat others as if they matter both to God and to us." This is what St. John tells us in 1 John chapter 4. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this is love of God, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be payment for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another." We wrap up this sermon about people matter with a story about a pastor in a small town. The congregation owned its own cemetery on the outskirts of town. Over the years, they had enforced strict rules regarding who should be buried there. Basically, only members of that congregation were allowed burial in their cemetery. A stepson of a member died. He was a troubled young man, especially having returned as a soldier in World War II. His war experiences hurt him deeply. He could not get himself to join the church, or even get himself to church on Sunday mornings. He had not lost his faith, but he did not fit in with the other people. When he died, his stepmother asked permission to bury him in the church cemetery. Her request was turned down. But after great discussion, she was given permission to bury him just outside the fence around the cemetery. For almost 1 year, the pastor was troubled by the sight of the woman visiting her son's grave just outside the cemetery's fence. It just was not right, but he could not dig up the casket and move the grave. But he did decide to take action and accept full responsibility, even if it meant his resignation. One night, all by himself, he spent the entire evening and the next morning moving the cemetery fence 10 feet to the north. By moving it 10 feet, the son's grave was now within the cemetery. The young man was where he belonged. He moved the fence. Do you realize God has done the same thing for you and me? And for all sinners, he has moved the fence. We in no way deserve heaven. We are sinners, and the Bible is clear. The wages of sin is death, eternal separation from Almighty God. Due to our sin, a fence of separation is erected around heaven, and we cannot get in on our own. Our sin means that we are on the outside looking in. But the good news is this: God has moved the fence. Better than that, he has torn it down. Romans 6:23 declares, "The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." In Jesus Christ our Lord, God has not just moved the fence, he has torn it down to include all sinners, and even sinners like you and I. May this amazing love of God move each of us and this congregation to live out our faith as if all people matter. In the name of Jesus, amen.